This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So right before the top of the hour, I played a soundbite for you. And it was the socialist darling, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the 28-year-old who's going to win the congressional seat from the Bronx. And one of the things that she's been pushing is Medicare for all. And a conservative estimate of Medicare for all would result in $32 trillion in added costs. That's one and a half times the debt, the massive debt that our nation has incurred in 250 years of being a nation. And that's after savings, because they say, well, no, it'll save money. No, no, no. A conservative estimate, and I don't mean a right-wing estimate, I mean lowball estimate, is Medicare for all would cost you and me an additional $32 trillion, which means our federal taxes would have to double to pay for it. And when she was asked, I got to play this one more time, because I got to share for you the feedback from the people who support, or at least one person who supports Medicare for all.
Medicare for all. Mm-hmm. Is it too expensive?
No. People often say, like, how are you going to pay for it? And I find the question so puzzling, because how do you pay for something that's more affordable? How do you pay for cheaper rent? How do you pay for it? You just pay for it.
You just pay for it. That's how you pay for things. You just pay for it. Borrow the money.
So I mentioned that right before the top of the hour. And let me give you just a glimpse of at least one person who agrees with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. When I said that just pay for it isn't workable, from the 253, the most ignorant, uneducated things I have heard from you. No outlook for future, typical, greedy, I want it now mentality. No clue as to what it'll be in the future. You are a true piece of S for spewing your filth and complete lies. Again, go F yourself. And I hope you die alone and miserable of some horrible cancer where you have to be on socialized medicine to be able to live because the medical community took all your money, you life-sucking piece of S. So because I think it's unworkable to double everybody's federal taxes to pay for Medicare for all, and I think it's ignorant for somebody to say, just pay for it. Somebody believes that I should die alone, suffering from a horrible cancer. Thank you for giving us a glimpse into your brain and your life, 253. It's nice to hear from you. Let's get into the Fastest 15, a world of news in a 15-minute package just for you. And then you got Bill Gates, who isn't all wrapped up in politics. Did you see what Bill Gates was doing yesterday?
I'm just reading the version from New York Post, and I was trying not to laugh out loud while you were just doing that first part. Did he really need to bring the sample?
He brought a jar of human feces.
Poop.
Yes. To a little press event. Because he's pushing for a toilet revolution in China.
So it's the reinvented toilet expo in Beijing.
Yes. And so many people in China do not have, certainly indoor plumbing. They don't have anything that resembles modern toilets. And so he is pushing for expanding just the basics of, the hygienic toilets that we all have access to.
So the World Health Organization, just to show how big of a problem this is, they estimate that 2.3 billion people around the world still don't have the traditional sanitation methods available.
Yeah. And look, anything other than the toilets we enjoy are so miserable.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
when you go to Europe and they have some of those, I mean, even some of those versions of toilets, no good.
And
they were terrible. And no seat covers in that country, in any of those countries.
And no ventilation.
No ventilation. And, just porta potties are disgusting. The outhouse, my sister, like 40 years ago, she and her husband, they had a cabin and all they had was an outhouse. And just on a cold morning, having to go out to an outhouse and to think that there's so many people, that's their everyday life.
So I appreciate, though, that Bill Gates wants to, make it so that this kind of.
I do too.
Updated technology is available.
I agree. And he can do whatever he wants with his money. And I think it's cool that instead of getting into the mess of politics that we have now in our country, that he's thinking about the world and thinking about, the health of people. The only thing that I questioned as I was reading this is China is an incredibly wealthy nation as far as the communist leadership. And China is holding, hundreds of billions, maybe, I don't know if it's trillions, of our debt. And that's why I say the 22 trillion nation's debt that we have, I think it's one of the greatest fears for our future. I think it's a much greater threat than, terrorism, because you have a communist country that, and China would like to see the United States wiped off the map. And I think it's dangerous that they are holding so much of our paper in the form of the debt and all the money that we've borrowed. But with all of that wealth, why does Bill Gates have to take his money? The Chinese communist government could provide basic hygiene and basic infrastructure.
But I think this is not just for the Chinese. I think this is just for people all around the world.
I agree. But the fact this is happening in China, and they specifically cited how many people in China don't have basic hygiene, And as I said, Bill Gates can do whatever he wants with his money. But the fact that the communist regime allows such a huge part of their population to live in filth like that, it exposes just the evil of communism. It exposes that, governments are about power and control, not about doing what's right for the people. And we have more and more people in our country who are yearning for socialism / communism. And believe me, that is a growing. You listen to what's going on the streets during these protests in Portland and here in Seattle, and the number of people who think that they are yearning for communism in our country. Look at, these, as Trump would call it, these S-hole countries where they have enough money that they could provide hygiene for the people. But that's not what those regimes are about. So Bill Gates, I appreciate that he's always thinking about how to make the world better. And
I mean, he's helped eradicate, diseases.
The things he's done in African countries. He's worked to reduce the, widespread AIDS that was, just running rampant through Africa and Asia. And yes, it is a noble way to spend the wealth that the man has amassed.
I just don't think he needed to bring that glass of poop.
No.
Nor did he need to drink in 2015 a cup of water made from feces.
What?
Would we? Yeah,
what?
I remember that.
Oh, yeah,
I remember that.
That happened, too.
He filtered it and then drank the water.
Well, I guess that he filtered it.
Well,
I don't know that you needed to have.
But we wouldn't talk about him if we,
remember we
if talked he didn't do those things.
A couple of years ago, there was an airline that was going to provide showers. And they were going to recycle the toilet and other, early shower water.
Yeah.
And you would use recycled filtered water. So if you were like the last person to shower on a 9-hour flight, you'd get the recycle. And I know, I'm sure it's as clean as anything.
It is. It's just the idea of it.
No. I want to be first in line for something like that. Crying out loud. Next up in the Fastest 15, my favorite audio of the day. A reporter in Michigan for the Huron Daily Tribune. Her name is Brenda Battle. And there's a big Senate race. Debbie Stabenow is the Democratic incumbent. And there's an African-American man who's trying to become the Republican senator. John James is his name. So this reporter calls his office, leaves a voicemail, thinks that she hung up the phone, and then listen to what she says after she thought she had hung up the phone, requesting an interview with the Republican candidate.
Hi, my name is Brenda Battle. I am a reporter with the Huron Daily Tribune in Bad Axe, Michigan. Looking to set up an appointment with Mr. James for sometime on Wednesday for a phone interview regarding the election results. I'm probably going to send an email over.
But she sounds like a real firebrand, too.
Yeah, I know. I return her call
what
right away.
What a personality this woman has.
I'm probably going to send an email over to the info at johnjamesforsenate.com with some details. If you'd like to call me back, my number is 989.
Yeah, that's redacted.
Thank you.
Okay, so right there, she thinks she hung up the phone. She didn't. She goes on to say,
man, if he beats her. John James.
John James.
Whew. That would suck. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Her voice changes in that last part.
And you know who she's talking to there?
Who?
Herself.
Oh, no.
There's nobody else in the room.
Serious problems.
Just effing John James. They would suck.
I was trying to find the circulation for Huron Daily Tribune, Bad Axe. I mean,
Bad Axe, Michigan. I've never even heard of Bad Axe. That's a cool city name.
10 subscribers? I mean,
what?
How big is that? How many people get that newspaper?
Oh, you're not sure. I thought you actually meant that. No. Circulation. No. No, Huron is a middling town in Michigan, but she's talking to herself. Who does that? That you got to be mentally ill to talk to yourself.
Oh, stop. We all talk to ourselves.
Dropping
I talk to myself
F-bombs.
All the time. Oh, my
goodness. You would say that out loud
yes.
after leaving a voicemail for somebody.
Well, I would be more careful than she is, and I wouldn't say it in the office.
No.
But I talk to myself.
Anyway,
yeah.
But I mean, listen, and that's how you know she's talking to herself, because she's whispering it. Yep, effing John James. I mean, this is a mentally ill person.
So how...
Man, if he beats her. John James.
That sounds demonic.
It's
John...
right here where she, the effing, last part.
Effing John James.
Whew. That would suck.
That's where she sounds demonic.
So Brenda Battle, who no doubt dreamed of a career in journalism, couldn't wait to get her opportunity with the Huron Daily News in Bad Axe, Michigan. Her editor, after listening to that voicemail this morning, he fired Brenda Battle, even though she is representative of 90% of the media.
Oh, please.
Literally.
Oh, come on.
Literally.
Okay.
You want me to pull up the study? Pull up the study. You like fact-checking me.
I do.
See?
Yeah, come on.
See political donations by journalists. 90% of political donations by journalists in America go to the Democratic Party. 90%.
I'm not even talking about party. I'm talking about just the lack of professionalism and the idiocy. I mean, come on,
right.
Please.
That's 90%. Lack of professionalism and idiocy represents 90%. Professionalism and competency.
Well, I hate to bring it up, but Dory, you are counted as part of the media.
I know. I'm part of the 10%. Actually.
Oh, of course. No,
well, I am. I'm like 1/100th of that 10% because a lot of that 10% is
that woman
is pretty idiotic, too.
No, that was pretty bad.
The only place you're going to, truly. Competency and legitimacy, this show is about it in America these days. Next up in the big lead, the fallout continues. Saturday Night Live, Pete Davidson, he told that hideous joke about a candidate named Dan Crenshaw. He's a congressional candidate in Texas. And Dan Crenshaw, a Navy SEAL, served several tours overseas. And while in Afghanistan, he had his eyeball blown out by an IED. His interpreter was killed in that attack. And because of the horrible injury that this Navy SEAL suffered while serving his country, he now has to wear an eye patch. And Pete Davidson on Saturday Night Live, he made this joke. We told you about it yesterday. Tell you about the continued fallout in just a moment. But here's what he said about this American hero who lost his eye while serving as a Navy SEAL.
This guy's kind of cool, Dan Crenshaw.
Oh, come on. So he puts up a picture of him wearing the eye patch, and you hear Michael Shea, and this is all scripted. None of this is ad-libbed. This got past whatever fact-checking, whatever quality control they have at Saturday Night Live, and they put up a picture of a hero who lost his eye. Michael Shea sitting next to him. Oh, come on. Just egging them on. They all think it's hilarious to make fun of an American hero who lost his eye.
This guy's kind of cool. Dan Crenshaw.
Oh, come on, man.
Yo, hold on. You may be surprised to hear he's a congressional candidate from Texas and not a hitman in a porno movie. I'm sorry. I know he lost his eye in war or whatever. Whatever. All right.
They all think that's hilarious. He lost his eye in war or whatever. So now the...
That wasn't even remotely funny.
No, not in the slightest. But the question that everybody's asking today is, you know, when Laura Ingraham went after the kid, David Hogg, about gun control issues, there was a massive advertiser boycott of Fox News. And a lot of people are wondering, is there going to be an advertiser boycott of Saturday Night Live, of NBC, when they make fun of a man who gave up his eye just fighting for your freedom, for my freedom, fighting for our nation as a Navy SEAL?
I haven't looked up whether anyone is threatening to boycott, but certainly there has been a backlash.
On Facebook, there's a backlash on Facebook about everything. No, there's absolutely nothing as of this, you know, when I started at noon today, where anybody was talking about. And I'm not pushing for a boycott. Boycotts are, you know, rarely effective. But it's just ironic. It just shows the double standard.
It sounds like Saturday Night Live, though, just in an ABC story that I'm seeing right now. It sounds like they're going to try to right that wrong is what apparently.
Yeah, with a phony apology. Yeah. They're going to do a phony apology. They're all giggling about it. This wasn't an ad lib. This went past every checkpoint that they have before something gets on the air. It gets past their dress rehearsal. Lorne Michaels had seen it earlier in the day. Any apology, anything they do to try to right this wrong is going to be phony because it is considered acceptable among, you know, places like Saturday Night Live to make fun of American military war heroes.
And people are saying it's ad-libbed, but the only part that was ad-libbed was the whatever.
Yeah.
And so
I know he lost his eye in war was what was written, and then he goes, or whatever.
But Crenshaw, his response, I thought was quite good.
Yeah, he said, look, I have a thick skin, but he goes, us Navy SEALs, we make fun of each other all the time, but it's got to be creative and funny and not nonsense like that. But that's the kind of stuff you get from comedians on SNL, and that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
You know what would bring us all together in these contentious times? A visit from Dave Wyman. His Tuesday afternoon drop-in is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Clearly, Sean is trying
Black
to
Sabbath.
Get the first one.
No.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Nah.
I tried to steal Dave's answer.
Is this Ronnie James Dio?
It is not, Dave.
Man.
Clearly,
this is my
your genre.
Wheelhouse.
Yes.
Yeah, I
don't know. John's trying to do you a favor.
I know he is. I know he is.
Rat.
Number of the Beast.
Is it Rat?
No,
it's not like Rat. You got the name of the song, Dave.
Deeper.
Maybe because they say it.
Number of the Beast, yeah.
Yeah.
I give up.
I give up.
Iron Maiden.
Jeez. Should have known that.
Guess you should have. Hey, Dave.
Hi.
Dave Wyman is here with us. You hear him every afternoon on 710 ESPN Seattle from 3 to 7, Danny, Dave, and more. And you also hear him on the Seahawks broadcast. That was a tough game on Sunday. I guess because I didn't think the Seahawks played that horrible. I just got the sense that San Diego was a more talented team.
Yeah, I thought they were a better team than San Diego, though, going in. That was really disappointing. And yeah, it was a tough day.
And we both just called them San Diego, too.
Yeah, I don't care.
I know.
The San Diego Chargers, damn it.
No, they're the Los Angeles Chargers.
No.
Yes.
So, yeah, I was born in San Diego.
Do you still call the Baltimore Orioles the St. Louis Browns?
No.
Well, it's the same principle.
Well, that was a long time ago. This is recent.
Okay.
I know I got a chance to talk to the head coach with the Chargers. He was a teammate of mine in Denver, Anthony Lynn. They're doing a really good job down there. They are very quietly, without much of a home crowd or anything like that. They have that StubHub Center down there, 35,000.
Yeah.
They don't even...
Not even that.
Yeah. They don't... Maybe it's 25. Yeah,
it's just tiny little soccer stadium.
Yeah. So, but they're quietly a really good team. So the word was is that I heard this from... Well, I think it was Brandon Mebane was saying that they did not want Chris Carson coming back in the game. G. Scott told me that they, when Chris Carson was out, they were somewhat relieved. So I think around the league, people see him as being a big deal.
Yeah, no, he is. He's become an elite running back. Yeah, it's just
He got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt, and we don't know his status.
Russell had an off game. Russell,
yeah, sure did.
There was a few. There's a certain thing I was trying to explain. There's something that I think spooks him, and it makes his eyes come down. So you can see it where he's not looking downfield. He's looking at the pass rush around him. And then, you know, he just had an off day. The one throw to Jerron Brown that he shorted, I mean, he was wide open. Yeah, he might have been gone for a touchdown.
5 yards underthrown.
Yeah. So, you know, he missed a slant throw to Tyler Lockett that was just a very uncharacteristic of him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't think that there's anything chronic here that's going on. He has a perfect passer rating the week before.
Yeah, and I guess that's the question I have, because I would think 7 years in that consistency would be one of the things you would develop. And that's what you tend to see. And I usually think of Russell Wilson as one of the elite quarterbacks, but you know, when you see the Tom Brady's of the world, and I know Tom Brady's don't grow on trees.
No, but Tom Brady doesn't throw a pick six like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he does, when he is bad, he's the girl with the curl.
Mm-hmm.
When she's good, she's very good. When she's bad, she's
horrible.
Something like that. Yeah. So, yeah. And it looked like he was back to where he was the first couple of weeks. He just wasn't comfortable. So it was kind of a weird game. I'm hoping that was just something that popped up. And then the run gaps, that annoys me. That really annoys me when, you know, you have either, whether it's linebackers or D linemen, that just leave huge gaps because they either go to the wrong one or whatever. But you saw a couple of times where guys are just running free.
And we're talking about your veteran superstars who, you know, on both sides of the ball, who are not supposed to have the breakdowns, the letdowns like that. So that's where.
Well, the one thing I'll say about that is I don't ever point fingers on the run gap thing because I don't know who has what. You know, it could be D linemen, could be linebackers, but. Yeah, but Russell, I mean, that's pretty obvious when he's bad and he makes mistakes. It's glaring. That's why he's a quarterback, but I still think he's a great one, and I don't think there's any reason to push the panic button.
So what's the upside potential now, because you got an incredibly tough game against the Rams in Los Angeles, who just lost for the first time all season, so you know they're going to be extra motivated and fired up. And Seahawks are 10-point underdogs for that game on Sunday.
Well, I'm hoping that they were able to fix the things that got them the first time. And one of them was Todd Gurley. I think he ran for 150 yards against them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's got to be contained. The other thing is the deep crossing route, that killed him. And then I just think, you know, dumping the ball off to Todd Gurley and giving him too much space, those are kinds of things that I think they can get fixed.
So but is this still a playoff team? Because we thought a week ago the Seahawks were a likely or very, you know, strong contender to be a playoff team.
Now I don't know. You know, after the Detroit game, I thought, well, I think San Diego's really good, but I think they're going to beat them because they're at home.
And after that, I was like, they've lost 7 of their last 12 home games.
Isn't that weird?
The Seahawks have. It had been, you know, maybe the best home field advantage, and, you know, the fans are still so great.
And it was loud.
It was loud, Sunday. Yeah. But you lose 7 of your last 12 at home. That's what is so completely uncharacteristic.
Yeah, it's so deflating at the end of the game when it's just like everybody just turns around and leaves.
Yeah.
And there's no noise. It's like, oh,
just
man.
Filing out.
Yeah.
Dave Wyman is here. We got lots of other stuff to talk with him about. What we got for us, Sean?
There's an ad playing in
2 seconds.
Man, those ads.
Those YouTube ads. We should invest in YouTube.
We should. I gave some money to Wikipedia the other day.
Queen.
Come on. Come on. Come on now.
Come on, Dave. Come on, Dave. You had that one.
Of course I did. Freddie Mercury.
You going to go see that movie?
Yeah, it looks good.
I think Sean's... You see it, Sean?
Yes, I did see it.
It's good? And
I thought it was pretty darn good. Yeah, it was nice to see the band. I didn't know a thing about them, so it was really fun to learn about Freddie and how they kind of came up from nothing.
Yeah. Sean DeTore, I'm going to go home and tell my wife. Sean DeTore says it's pretty darn good.
Pretty darn good. That's a thumb up. Okay, we're going to continue our conversation. Lots of other stuff to talk with Dave Wyman about as the Dory Monson Show continues. Doesn't really matter to me. Aha.
You got it.
Sorry, Dave.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am. I'm feeling really bad. Remember the video for this song?
No.
Did you watch a lot of MTV in the early days?
Somewhat.
I would think that you would be lollygagging around your Stanford dorm room just watching MTV with all your pinhead buddies down there.
First of all, I lived in the Delt House, which wasn't really a fraternity as much as like an animal house for football players.
You were in a frat?
Wrestlers, not really. I get these things from Delta Tau Delta that they always want us to update and stuff, and I'm not interested.
But you were or were not in a house?
I was in a fraternity house, but we didn't really run it like a fraternity. There was no meetings and secret handshakes and crap like that.
Were you hazed?
Yeah, you had to drink a bottle of bourbon.
A whole bottle?
Yeah.
How'd that go? It
took me a few days. I didn't like bourbon then. And it was also called Bourbon Deluxe with the L-U-X-E fancy spelling of deluxe. It was awful.
I had a horrible story on the show about this kid who died at a hazing for his... It was the equivalent of a fraternity in England. But they... Same thing. They made him drink a bunch of stuff. And then he had to bob for apples in a barrel full of urine.
That's so stupid. See, and that's why I don't like those fraternities, those kinds of things where they do that stuff. And we didn't do that. We did something called 60 Minutes where you had to drink 2 ounces of beer on the minute for an hour. So it ended up being like 12 beers or something. It was great.
2 ounces every minute for an hour? So 120 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a lot.
It was a lot. Yeah, we had one guy that did not throw up, and he was a golfer. Can you believe that? He only went like $1.60. It was weird. We had a big wrestling match at halftime where I took on the entire baseball team in the front yard. It was great.
Well, so you were in a house. Why do you deny it?
I don't know. We weren't, like I said, we didn't do the secret handshake and all the, you know, stuff where you had the password and the robes and all that creepy stuff. It was like brainwashing stuff.
I was in a house for...
Thank you, sir. May I have another? That kind of crap, you know?
I was in a house for a day and a half at the University of Washington. I went through, you know, the recruiting parties, and then I said yes, And then the second day, I realized this ain't for me.
No, it's not.
It's not going to work out.
It's not cool. The only reason they allowed us to not do all those things, because we were the one Delta Tau Delta house that had like all the athletes, so they could put in their sports section of their little Delt Rainbow magazine is what it was called. And like Elway was an All-American. I was. There was a wrestler that was like undefeated, and he was an All-American. And so they let us have our chapter.
So they even just wanted you for your bodies.
Yeah. They didn't want us for our dedication to the Delta Tau Delta.
To the heritage.
Yeah. There was some, like, secret password. Do you want to know what it was?
Yeah.
Earl.
Why?
I don't know. And I bet you there's a lot of people out there that are thinking I'm a turncoat and that I should be hung up.
Because and, you just revealed that.
For revealing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I...
And there was some handshake. It was so hokey. I couldn't stand that stuff.
And the thing is, all three of my daughters were in sororities, and the same one my wife was in. And so I kind of got into, because when my wife first asked me out, it was to a sorority dance. And I felt like such a Greek system outsider, because that was for the cool kids. And as you might imagine, I wasn't even close to being a cool kid.
Yeah, see, but they weren't the cool kids, right? I mean, they're... Yeah, I just didn't, to me, and look, no offense if it, people are into their frat or, you know, sorority's different, but
yeah, I think
if you're into fraternity, that's fine. I don't care. I know that's how you make friends and stuff like that, but
yeah.
I made friends on the football team, and, you know, those were all the football players were in there.
I didn't have any friends.
Yeah, well, you do now.
Yeah, buddy.
I'm not one of them. You keep beating me and playing that tune.
Speaking of which, do you know this artist here?
Yeah, it's What's-his-face from the Eagles?
Joe Walsh.
Walsh.
See? I just got moments ago, during the last commercial break, I just got some very exciting news from producer Nicole Thompson. Joe Walsh is going to be on this show this week.
No way.
I'm very excited about this.
Is he coming in or?
No.
Yeah?
He's calling in.
What's it about?
Well, he's doing Tacoma Dome this weekend.
The Vet Aid. The Veterans Charity Project thing where Chris Stapleton's going to be there. A bunch of cool people are
going to be
there.
Stapleton.
Oh, I love Chris, country singer. Country. What a voice he's got.
Awesome.
He's fantastic. Oh,
Michael.
Wham.
Yeah, that's it. What's the guy's name?
George Michael.
George Michael.
He passed.
I said Michael.
Yeah. Did he? Yeah, he died.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, my dad, he, like, when he turned my age, he thought everybody was dead. Oh, didn't he die? So I don't want to become that guy.
Well, you just were.
I'm going to be the opposite of that. No, I thought he was still alive.
Who was
His dad thought everyone was dead.
Who was the other member of Wham?
Yeah, he didn't get that. I don't know.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Sean. I'm going to say Andrew Ridgely?
I have no clue. It's just the other guy in Wham.
You were correct.
It's Andrew Ridgely.
Yeah. Really? Look at you. Well, you didn't have any friends. You sat in your dorm room and listened to Wham. Or as Dory would call it, Wham.
Dave Wyman. You can hear him every afternoon, 3 to 7, 710 ESPN Seattle. Danny, Dave, and more. Thanks for dropping by. Lots more. Big Lead 2 next.